And how many know that through January it is starting to look really rough as far as the snowpack in the mountains? And I texted them this morning and I said, no more drought. But I believe that that's also a spiritual sign that we can take, that there's not going to be drought in here today. If you're weary, if you're tired, if you've been out shoveling and you're tired physically, if you're tired in your heart, in your soul, let's just get ready just to enter into His presence. Because He's here right now. He's going to abide with us. He's going to tabernacle as we praise and worship Him. He's here living in each and every one of us. But as we join our hearts together, as we connect as a family of believers, we can let a supernatural event take place where a dynamic of the God that's inside of all of us activates this atmosphere and causes His presence to be so tangible and so real that we can experience healing in our bodies. We can experience healing in our emotions, in our hearts. Oh, we come to You today, Lord. It's all about You. It's all about You, Lord. Would you stand with me? It's all about You, Lord. This service is about You, Jesus. We just yield and we surrender right now our hearts, our minds, and emotions. We set aside all the distractions of life, the weight of life, the weight of our shortcomings and sins. Set those aside. We look to You, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for Your grace. Thank You, Lord, for Your love in our lives. Thank You, Lord, for Your peace. Oh, thank You, Lord, for Your joy. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Just start thanking the Lord. We thank You, Jesus, for being our salvation, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Oh, we're so grateful we're in Your presence. We're so grateful we're with You right now. Oh, we come up higher right now, Lord. We leave this temporal behind and we come up higher right now, Lord. We leave the distractions of life. We come up higher right now, Lord. And we enter into the throne room. We enter into the kingdom of God right now. We leave behind the distractions of life. We leave behind our discouragements. We leave behind our stresses. And we enter into Your throne room right now. We come into Your presence right now, Lord. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, thank You, Lord. We see You high and lifted up. Oh, we see You high and lifted up in this place right now. We see Your train filling this place right now. Oh, we see the angels of God right now. Oh, we see heavenly realms right now. We step beyond the natural. We enter into the supernatural right now. Yala mama sedede na mandi andedede. Shila mama mama ndedede. Oh, la mama sigre mama nida mandedede. Yeah! Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Oh, where two or more are gathered. When we're gathered in Your name, You are there. You tabernacle, You live right now. Right now where we are, You're living, You're inhabiting, and we receive Your glory right now. Oh, shana mama mama shula na 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 Sheila na 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 na.
to you, Lord. Let's just sing this to the Lord. Oh, oh. Come on, as a body of Christ, let's just sing this to Him. God's doing a work in them. Yes, you do, Lord. you are, oh God. You are holy, you are mighty, you are powerful, Lord. Come on, church, lift him up in this place. We lift you up, God.
Forever, that saved me, crown of thorns, you became my king forever. With the crown of thorns, you became my king forever. And with the crown of thorns, you became my king forever. Oh, with the crown of thorns, you became my king forever. That saved me and rescued me. Just a moment there set me free. I give you glory, glory.
Come on, sing it out.
I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. Jesus,
yes, we do, Lord.
I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. Jesus.
Come on, blessed be the name.
Blessed be your name in land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, the walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Cause every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. There's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name.
Yes, Lord.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory.
Yeah, sing that again.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name.
Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
You
blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name.
Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory.
Last time, let's sing it again.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name.
God, we bless you, Holy Spirit.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Blessed be your name.
Let our worship ring out. Let our praises ring out. Touch your heart.
touch your heart. We rejoice, oh God. We rejoice, oh Lord. We rejoice, oh God.
You leave us on our own. For you are
your faithfulness, oh God.
Spirit.
This morning, I just feel like God just wants to give us just a gentle reminder of how incredibly great He is. And it's really easy sometimes to forget that. We know, yes, we know, God, you're great. But sometimes to get it from our head to our heart, it's a different story. And I feel like this morning, God just wants to remind us how great, how mighty, how powerful He is. How incredibly awesome He is. And I just want us right now just to enter into that right now. God, just help us to enter in just to know, God, not just to know with our head, but to know with our heart and to know with our spirit how amazingly powerful and great you are, Holy Spirit. God, remind us, Lord Jesus, not to look at the situation and the circumstance in front of us, but knowing, Father God, that you've already been there, you've already done that, you've already won the battle, you've already won the war, Father God, it's already been completed, it was already done at the cross, God. You've already conquered, you've already triumphed, you've already completed the work, Father God. Remind us, Jesus, this morning, God, that the work has already been finished, Father. God, remind us this morning. God, remind us this morning, Jesus. Remind us this morning, God. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Breathe that truth over us, God. Breathe that truth over us, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I just feel like God just speaking so much right now. Yes, Lord. Why look at the circumstance when you can look at me? Why look at the circumstance when you can look at me? Just feel that so much this morning. God, help us to receive that right now, Jesus. Help us to receive that now, Jesus. Yes, God. You're so mighty, Lord. You're so glorious. Oh, let that revelation just fall upon our hearts. Let that revelation fall upon our hearts this morning, Jesus. If you just want to receive the fresh revelation of the Lord this morning, I just encourage you, to abandon everything that's around you, everything that's might be distracting or whatever the case is. God literally wants to pour out revelation right now in this moment. He truly wants to pour out revelation over your spirit, over your heart, over your mind. God, we just need to receive from you right now, Jesus. Come on, church. This is a moment that God just wants to pour it out, and it's up to us to receive. It's up to us to receive from Him. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We receive it now, God. Oh, Ravasha.
So I felt I need to share something that happened. Something that happened this past week. Actually, just a few days ago. Just speaking of looking at God instead of our circumstances. Tanya and I got into a discussion the other day. And through that discussion, one thing led to another. And the next thing you know, out comes things in the past that I've done. And how those are concerns for her still to this day. And I was just kind of, I was shocked and I was hurt. And I was sad to know that my wife still is concerned about certain things of my past, even now. And then little thoughts came through my mind and I shared, well, this is, you know, I shared some of a concern of mine, and I was like, well, this is something that I'm concerned about. This is how I feel. And in that moment, I was sad, and I thought, well, wow. Does my life not reflect the change that God has made in my heart? And I started wondering, has there been as much change as I have thought there was? I started running through my mind like, and then rather than me thinking of the circumstance, keeping it running through my mind, I just stopped. I stayed silent. And I just listened. Just listened for God. And there was a small, still voice that says, I love you. You're my son. You're my beloved. You're righteous by the blood of Jesus. There has been change in your life. All things are new in Christ. You are not the same. The old David is gone. And this is a new David. You're going to be a continuous work, my son. And I'm never going to stop. I'm always faithful. I'm always going to be with you. I always love you. And I just feel that that testimony is, as soon as I just felt that, my heart was just so softened towards the Lord at that moment. And I was just like, I broke down and tears started coming. And I was just so, I can't explain the feeling, but it was just amazing. And I just feel that testimony isn't just for me. God doesn't just feel that way about me. He feels that way about each and every one of us. And in every situation, in every relationship, every marriage, everything, there may be concerns, but in every individual, all things are new, regardless of what the concerns are. Don't focus on those. Focus on God, and those things will go away. When your heart is on Jesus, that will reflect out, and over time, that will show your spouse, your friend, your loved one, whoever it may be, that will reflect the change that Jesus made in your heart. So Lord, I just pray right now over each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, I pray that our hearts, Lord, will receive the righteousness that you have given us by the blood of Jesus. Lord, that we will hear your voice, Lord. In any moment, Father God, in any circumstance, any situation, we will look to you, Father God. We will get our identity from you, Lord, not from our situation. Lord, that we will see your love and your movement, your change in our lives, Lord God, and that those testimonies that have been so great, Lord, will be shared with one another, Lord God. Lord, that you will bring us into a greater revelation of being your true son and being your true daughter, Lord. Lord, just letting us understand the impact and the value of your blood, Jesus. That what you have done for us has made us righteous and by your blood, Jesus, alone. And Lord, that you see us as faultless and blameless, Lord. Lord, I pray that we get that revelation into our hearts, Lord God. That is in our hearts, Lord, that we live that out. Lord, that it passes our brain right to our heart. And let that just come out and emit from us, Lord God. Let that be the light that shines out. So I thank you so much, Jesus, for your blood, Lord. I thank you that you have called us to better things and that you continue to work on us. We thank you, Lord, and we praise your mighty name.
So as David's over here was giving his testimony, I was remembering something this week, this semester. Like, I transferred into making silk screening, and we have to put emulsion on the screens, and that's like how it puts the stuff on the shirts. And when we get done with those, when we take them back into the room to get cleaned, they're pretty beat up and dirty. And the mark they leave on shirts, if you used them when they're that beat up, is horrible. And there really isn't any amount of fixing we can really do besides just starting over. And when I took it in there to clean it, Lord was showing me that that's just kind of how he just washes us clean and makes us new. Because when we get done, it's just totally like a blank screen. It starts all over. And then when we put something else on it, another design, it's a totally new thing, and it's perfect, and it leaves the right kind of mark. And you can't even tell that what it used to be. Like, you can't even tell that's what it used to be. It's a totally new thing. And that's kind of what Christ does in us.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we choose not to rush past you today. We choose to set our affections to you. Is there someone here this morning that needs prayer really significantly? Feel that there's be one or two, maybe several of you. I believe that the Lord wants to touch you. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh. Yes, Lord. We wait on you, Lord. We wait on you, Lord. We wait on you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we wait on you, Thank you.
mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands.
Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we hold on to you. We grip you with everything that's within us, God. Yes, God. Oh. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our day. We thank you, God, that the ordinary has been turned into extraordinary. That the normal has been turned into abnormal. But abnormal is normal in the kingdom of God. We thank you, Lord, that the natural has been turned into the supernatural. God, and we believe, Lord, in the coming days, for some of us in the coming hours, Lord, that we're going to experience more of you, more of heaven, more of the reality of the kingdom of God, more of the reality of who we are as your children, as your sons and daughters, as your beloved, as the ones who carry the glory of God here in this day. The glory of God here in this day. We're going to know. We're going to know. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, team. Praise God. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, about 2 weeks ago, I was really sick. And I didn't make it on Sunday. And on Tuesday morning, Pastor Gay and I were feeling really bad. But we're feeling better, but we're still really weak. And we were just sitting in the bed together, and she was using her iPad trying to look at something, and a scripture, I think it was, she asked me a question, and I said, oh, well, you know, you can do this. She has the same software on her iPad that I have on mine, and I started showing her something. She goes, oh, I didn't know it would do that. And I said, yeah, but then it won't only do that, it will do this. And she looked, and she goes, oh, my goodness, I didn't know that. And I said, there's all kinds of tools out there. And she says, you know what? You need to teach a class. So out of that, out of a real need, I believe, that's in the body of Christ, because how many know that this is not the day for you to just come here and hear what I have to say, or hear what you have, what you hear on TV, or hear what you hear on the radio, and then that is the truth that you walk in? How many know that that's not the case anymore? How many know that this is a time of feeding ourselves, but it's also a time of receiving revelation, where you on Sunday morning or you during the week at work share the revelation and the truth that you receive out of the Word of God. Now, I believe that there's hidden nuggets throughout the Word. Sometimes it comes in the form of a Greek word or a Hebrew word. Sometimes it comes in the form of just looking at several different translations. And by God's grace, over the last probably 10 years, God's given me tools and the tools to be able to work my way through the Word of God. So I'm going to start a class on, let's see, February 23rd, March 2nd, and March 9th. 3 Sundays. It's going to be downstairs where Impact meets. It's going to be 6 o'clock on Sunday night, so in 2 weeks. And so, if you're interested in that, it's just Pastor Gay and I, we can do that at my house, so that's not necessary. But I encourage you to come to this. As a matter of fact, why don't you just stand up and say what you received for a moment, because I'm like I'm tooting my own horn here. Because you were the one that said, oh, you've got to do this.
Like he minds me any other time. No, I'm kidding. What is exciting to me about this, what he wants to do, is that God gives us revelation sometimes when we read the word and we read a scripture and then we go on with life and then we come back and God has us read that scripture again. That scripture can mean something totally different, and that's the revelation of God. It becomes life to us. But a lot of times, I believe, sometimes revelation can come through study of the word. And what's exciting about this is that there are tools that are available, and they're free tools that are available to us to actually get rhema out of this word that we have, but we haven't got a clue how to do it, and we're not technologically savvy enough to get it out. But he is, and he can teach us how to do that. And what's exciting about this is that just with three classes, I think the word would open up to a lot of us that have always wondered maybe how to study the Bible better, or how to get something out of it better, or even how to even like the word, because sometimes it's just like, you know what I mean? So that's what this is all about, and it's very exciting because it's only going to be a total of three hours, you know, 1 hour each night. And so if you're interested in that, I know I am, and I already signed up. But if you're interested in that, you want to sign up, and then we can just get together and see how that goes. I'm real excited about it.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So sign up. Basically what it is, I'm going to show you free tools that are out there. I'm going to have a computer. I'm going to have a projector, and I'm going to show you how to use those tools. So if the first week you don't have a computer or you don't have anything on your computer at home, I can help you figure out what to get, how to download it. You know, we can make it so that if you wanted to bring a laptop, we can help you do that. It's really about equipping you. It's about equipping you to be able to know the word. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. So just pass that around. Make sure it makes its way all the way around. Children, please come up. Praise the Lord. Man, that's a nice snow snoot. I need a good snow suit like that. Snow snoot? So snow. Hello. Quit while I'm behind. There we go. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Are you guys ready to go down and learn and receive? Amen. Father, we just thank you for your kids. Thank you for your children. Lord, right now we just release your glory and your anointing over them to be able to receive today, to be able to learn, to be able to grow, Lord, into the knowledge of who you are, but most of all, Lord, the knowledge of who they are in you. That, Lord, that they're not just waiting to grow up to be used by you, Lord, but they can be used by you today in their lives, Lord, as they walk this life in the coming days, Lord, that you can reveal yourself to them, Lord, and they can bless others because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, praise the Lord. All right, praise God. Well, last week I shared on, I think Jesse said it's, or someone was kidding, says I shouldn't title the sermon, "It's No Yoke." But it is about the yoke. Yeah, it's hello, dun-dun-dun. Yeah. But last week I was sitting there talking to someone, and we talked till almost, we got into almost past some of the pre-game stuff, you know, for the game. Hey, Hawks won. How many of you almost forgot that already? It's amazing how we focus on something so hard and so intently, and then, you know, right now it's like, oh, it's history. They got to win next year's Super Bowl if they're going to be good by me, right? Anyway, sorry for those of you fans. I was talking to someone, and I told them, I said, oh, man, you sound like you've got a sermon in you. And then we talked a little bit more, and then started sounding more like he was preaching. And I said, oh, we need to get you up here and preach, and so we can hear what God's put on your heart and have you share with us. He goes, well, you just name a time, next Sunday. Don't do that with me. Don't say, well, just name a time, because I'll name a time, really. I mean, if I could have named that today, it was already done. I couldn't have done that. So without further ado, would you please welcome Pastor Dan Rogers is going to bring the word. I am full of high expectations and excitement. He says, oh, boy, don't do that. He looked at me like, oh, man. You want to use this one?
Thank you. Well, it's amazing how nervous you get. I don't know about you. I always get nervous before I do something like this. Pastor Mike and I were talking last week, and we were just sharing some things that was on our hearts, my heart, his heart. And, we were talking about just life and people and all the things that we do. And I said to him, I said, a lot of people think, we're physical beings having a spiritual, we get the spiritual experience, and that's not true. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience that lasts however many years it is. And so from that, I just felt like the Lord gave me something for us today. And I think God always gives something to the pastor or whoever's ministering that day first for their own lives. And he gets just to share what God has spoke to him about himself. So when I share this, I'm not sharing this at you. I've already shared it with myself and examined myself and found myself wanting a lot. And, so we have to realize that we are not perfect. And so a lot of us use that as an excuse to just live any way we want to and just say, yeah, well, I'm not perfect. Well, the Bible says be perfect as he is perfect. You know, how you measure perfection, is not to compare ourselves to someone else, but to compare ourselves to him, and the more we look at him, the more we become like him. And a lot of times we don't like to look at him because what is reflected in us, in my life, certainly does not line up with him. And so we're constantly trying to come into alignment with him. And then you have the whole works thing where, have you ever sinned and then you think you've got to work harder so that he likes you better or that he's pleased with you? And and that's just not a good thing, because then we become this works mentality. And so you're constantly, I don't know about you, but I'm constantly balancing works mentality with faith mentality, with looking like Jesus and all those things. And it can really be tough. And you can really get tired really quick, and you almost throw your hands up in disgust of yourself and say, I can't do this, I quit, and blah, blah, blah. And then 5 minutes later, you're thinking, well, no, I can't quit, and so I'm going to, hopefully something bad happens so that I can kind of, do that whole repentance thing. And we just got to stop, because that's not the life and relationship Christ called us to be involved with him. And so I've been examining my own life, and I think a lot of times when we examine our lives and compare ourselves to him, I think it needs to be an encouraging thing, not a discouraging thing. Because God loves us no matter what we do. He's not going to love us any less if we sin, if we live holy. He loves us. He cannot love us any more than he loves us right now. A lot of times people say, well, I'll when I get saved, God really loves me. But God, the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and then goes on and all that stuff. So I want to minister a message, I guess, today that is, our life is hid in Christ and those types of things. So if you have your Bibles and you want to take them out, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3, Luke chapter 9, and Philippians chapter 3. So. So I can actually see what I'm doing. Okay. I think I'm going to start out with a quote that I read yesterday. And hopefully it won't be too offensive to people. It says, Jesus asks you for the highest price in order to follow him. Give him everything. Lay it all down. He's not interested in you adding him to your life. He wants to do a complete takeover. He either gets it all or you can keep it. The kingdom of God is, in its nature, is one of domination. There's no end to it. No relenting until it has apprehended every nook and cranny of your entire life. We were made for God. Some people, including myself, some people are in the habit of kind of putting their lives in order. Family first, then ministry. But in the kingdom of God, there is no such thing. It all belongs to God. The only reason we have children or have family is to build the kingdom of God. It is not to meet our emotional needs, but to raise up these children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, so that they can lay it all down for Him too and bring in His harvest. We are to do the King's bidding. The kingdom of God does not mind the things of man. It only minds the things of the Spirit. And I read that, and I almost deleted that part about your children, because I thought, my gosh, you know, what do you, if you say that and people are having children, we have 3 children, we have 8 grandchildren. And I got to thinking about that quote, and it's true. We don't have children just to meet an emotional needs. We think that's why we have children, because we want them to have our name, to carry on the Rogers name, the Smith name, the Joneses name, the whatever name, we want to carry that name on. But that's not the case. We are raising our children. In fact, we are told by Paul to raise up our children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Why do we want to do that? So that we can extend the kingdom of God. So that we can be like Him. So that we can raise up our families in the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? In fact, Jesus said it this way. He said, unless you hate your father, your mother, your children, your aunts, your uncles, your friends, everybody else, you cannot have any part of me. And people say, well, I thought Jesus was love and I thought He wants us to love. He does. But let's kind of define what He means by that. Unless my love for Him is so great that it looks like I hate my family, we can have no part of Him. I do a lot of funerals. I probably do, on average, 3 to 4 funerals a week. I do those. It's what I do. You know, I enjoy meeting families. And I guess the vein that runs through every service is He loved His family. She loved His family. Family was the most important thing to them. And that sounds great, especially for a service. But that cannot be what it is for us, the believer in Jesus Christ. Family cannot be the most important thing in my life. He has to be the most important thing in my life. Think about it this way. God is love. He is light. We sang a song that He wraps Himself in light. He wraps Himself in who He is, right? And the Bible says that in 1 John, God is love. They that love, loves God and all that. So you know the scripture, right? So if I'm going to love my family the way God wants me to love my family, doesn't it make sense that I should go to the God who is love, allow His love to flow through me so that I can love them in the way God chooses that I love them? Amen? If I'm going to do what God wants me to do, He has got to be number one in my life. Amen? So let's look at Luke chapter 9. Let's start there real quick. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. And as they were going along the road, someone said to Him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. And He said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. That sounds reasonable. But He said to him, allow the dead to bury the dead. As for you, go proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but that sounds kind of harsh. That's unreasonable that God would ask me not to say goodbye to my parents. That God would ask me, you know, to do this or that. But if we really understand the gospel and we really understand what happened to us when we gave our life to Christ, we would understand what Jesus is saying. Can you imagine, get a picture in mind, Jesus is at the cross, He's looking at the cross, He's looking at the crowd, He's doing all these things, and He almost goes to the cross because, wow, he gave it a good shot. He was right there, He loved me, but He just couldn't pull the trigger, right? But Jesus didn't do that. He laid His life down for me. He gave His life on the cross for me. Because the Bible, I wasn't even born yet. I wasn't even a thought of a thought of someone else that hadn't been born yet. But Jesus looked ahead. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, seeing therefore then we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, that can be family, it can be job, it can be anything, and the sin. They're both in the same category. That so easily besets us or ensnares us or gets us off the right path. Let us lay those things aside. And let us pick up Christ Jesus. Then it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Now, I don't know about you, but it wasn't talking about the cross. The cross was not joyous. The cross was not like, yay, I get to go to the cross. In fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, Father, if it's your will, let this cup, what cup? The cross, the crucifixion. I know what's coming because I am God Almighty. I've already seen it. I've seen it before I created the world. I knew that this was going to happen. And now the moment arrives, the moment where he has to finish what he started. The Bible says, Jesus praying in the garden, he said, Father, if it's possible, if there's another way, let this cup pass from me. Then he says, but nevertheless, thy will be done or thy will be accomplished. I don't think Jesus got the victory at the cross. I think Jesus got the victory in the garden. See, once he made up his mind in the garden, once he knew, he set his face, he set his mind, he was going to finish the task. See, many Christians, including ourselves in this room, we don't set our mind. We don't set. We don't look and get set. You ever see a race? I used to race track when I was in junior high school. I could never come in more than third place. I never got less than third, but I never got second or first. It was always third place. Yay for third. Third is just the second loser. I mean, that's just it. That's what it is. Amen? But there's a stance, especially for runners. If you're going to sprint, you know, you get down in a stance and they've got these starting blocks. And so you're down on your knees, and I'm not going to do it today. And it says, ready, set. When they say set, that means you get your legs, your feet ready. Because there's a gunfire coming. Ready, set, and boom, and you're off to the races. The one that wins is the one that's set. The one that's made up their mind. They've already seen the end result. I'm going to win this race. I'm going to come in first. So when you set your mind, the Bible says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. See, on the earth, when we set our mind on the earth, we make Jesus a part of our life. We make church a part of our life. We add him as an accessory, a handbag. Not me, but, you know, whoever. A handbag, shoes. We want to coordinate because our mind is on the things of the earth. But when you set your mind on things above, then he becomes number one. He becomes the most important thing in your life. He becomes your life. This is good stuff, right? So, I want you to look with me, if you would, in Colossians chapter 3, just real quick. And you'll know I say real quick and it means absolutely nothing. Real quick. What does that mean? Nothing. It's just a habitual word. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. In my Bible, the title of this section is Put on the New Self. Okay? Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking those things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. It doesn't say seek it once. It says keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Let me just stop right there. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says we are seated with him in heavenly places. So it's kind of awkward, but we're here, but we're really there. We're walking around here as physical people, but our spiritual man is sitting with him. And you can tell if you're walking in the flesh or in the spirit by what you do with him, what you do with Christ. See, if Christ is a part of your life, then on occasion we will seek the Lord, especially if things get kind of tough for us. You're going in for a surgery, you've lost your job, or something's going on with your family. We begin really to seek the Lord, and that's not a bad thing. We need to seek the Lord in those times. But it says, keep seeking those things that are above. What is the will of God for my life? God, what do you want to do with my life? How do you want me to raise my children? When you're raising your children, especially when they're younger, and you want Johnny or Sally to be, you know, in basketball, football, baseball, there's nothing wrong with that. However, how many know that most of the time they're not going to become a basketball star in the NBA, or they're not going to become, you know, Tiger Woods in golf? Again, nothing wrong with that. But if those activities take us away from, and people say, well, it's only 6 months out of the year, and they happen to have their games on Sundays, they happen to practice on Sundays, they happen to have everything on Sunday, but it's okay because this is good for their self-esteem. This is good. This is what we need to do for them. And then they get to be teenagers, and their faith becomes a little shaky. And then, God forbid, they go on to college, and their faith is challenged by some professor that says God is not real, and anybody that believes in God is ridiculous, and they come home, and you want to know why they have abandoned their faith. Because God cannot just be a part of your life. He has to be your life. Everything you do has to revolve around Him. Isn't it interesting, in our universe, you have the sun that is set, and everything revolves around the sun. Everything goes around it, right? Used to think that the earth, you know, the sun revolved around the earth, but that's not true. We revolve around the sun. And in the spirit, our lives revolve around the Son of God. Or at least they should, right? Set your minds on things above, not on things that are on the earth. Listen to verse 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Have you ever thought about that? For you have died. Just let that sink in. When you came, and when we all, I'm just going to say yes. When we came and bowed before the Lord and we said, Jesus, come into my heart and forgive me, at that moment, we died. Is this too heavy? Because I can go lighter. We fell asleep. We went to bed. No, see, that's not what the word says. We died, the Bible says, and we died, and our life is now hidden with Christ in God. That is a really good thing, because when Jesus returns, or we actually die and go to heaven, we are hid with Christ. We are in Christ. So when I stand before the Lord, am I preaching too loud? Because I could calm it down. I get really excited sometimes. I'm preaching today. You're really going to thank God for verse 3 when you actually die, or the Lord comes and you are standing before Him. Now people say, and I've had people ask this question, so what are you going to say if God says, why should I let you into my heaven? Well, that's probably not going to be the question, because if you're in heaven, you've already made the right decision. If you get there and, they don't have room for you, then you made the wrong decision. Right? But we are going to be so thankful that we literally died and now my life is hid. You know what that means? The devil can't find me. My flesh can't find me. I don't know about you, but my flesh found me yesterday, and it found me on Monday, and the devil, doggone it, he found me on Tuesday. But those are just things to try to convince you that you're really not saved, that you're really not all that. I was talking with a couple of nurses the other day, and we were just talking about, you know, faith, and sometimes you feel like you're not even saved. You ever have that feeling this morning when you got up? Oh, I don't even think I'm saved today. Thank God it's not about our feelings and our flesh, right? And so sometimes God just sends us a reminder. And I was doing a service one day, and I felt horrible. Not, you know, physically like I was sick, but, it, you know, you have those days where you just don't feel like you're saved. And so I went through the service, and, you know, I'm going to say this, and I'm not saying this in a way that is bragging, but I'm good at what I do. I do it all the time, so I can do it with my eyes closed, and that's not a good thing necessarily. So I'm doing the service, and I'm at the graveside, and, you know, quoting scriptures, and, you know, praying, and blah, blah, blah. And this guy at the end of the service says, you know, I really see Jesus in you. And I thought, wow, he sees Christ in me. And sometimes God reminds us that we belong to him, that we are not our own. So look at verse 4 of Colossians chapter 3. So verse 3 says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, look at this, who is our life. Did you see that? When Christ, who is our life, not a part of our life, not three quarters of our life, not 99.9% of our life, but the Bible says when Christ, who is our life, appears, we shall be revealed in him in glory. I don't know about you, but that's exciting. Verse 3 says, for you died, thank God, we died, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, when he comes back, when he stands on his throne, when he sits on his throne, when he, wherever he's at, he is our life. When he's revealed, we will truly be revealed for who we really are. This flesh is not who you are. This is where you live. This is what you have to live in. This is the vehicle for your spirit to express itself. How many's ever seen a dead body? Just let me see your hands just real quick. Don't they look dead to you? I mean, they make them up. They put the lipstick on them. They put all the stuff on them. But they still look dead. Why? Because the spirit, the real person that lived in that body is gone. It's absent. It's no longer there. But that vehicle is laying there, but that's what they lived in for all the... In fact, Paul called it a tent, a temporary dwelling place. So with my body, my physical man, I can hug somebody, but it's my spirit that's hugging them. I can tell somebody, I can tell my wife, I love you, and it's my spirit, it's who I am that lives inside of me. So when Christ, who is my life, so when I gave my life to Christ and I died, guess who took over? Jesus took over. The only part of us that can communicate with God is our spirit. You know why that is? Because the Bible says God is a spirit, so my flesh cannot hear God. You say, well, that's not true. I heard God today. That's true. Your ears, your physical ears, are receiving sound, your spirit is processing it, and your soul, which is your mind, your will, and emotions, is deciding what it wants to do with it. So when your spirit man is in charge, the real you is in charge, and you hear God, your mind, your soul, which is your mind, your will, and emotions, processes it as though the spirit is processing it. And I understand then with my mind that I'm no longer my own, but I belong to him. And if I belong to him, I have no right to myself. We're all about rights. You trampled on my rights. We live in a country where rights are important, and they should be important. But when our life, when we died, and he became our life, we gave up the right to do what we want to do. We gave up the right to be upset when the minister, the pastor, preaches a word that doesn't set and agree with me. We gave up the right when someone offends me to be offended. We gave up the right that I'm not going to apologize because I don't like that person. You do not belong to you. In fact, God said it this way. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, or because this is the truth, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to Him. You're not yours. Your husband is not yours. Your wife does not belong to you. Your children don't belong to you. They are on loan to you. And we are to steward them. We are to steward the things that we have. We are to be good stewards of our home, our marriage, our finances, our children, because it does not belong to us. It's His. He owns it all. So when we categorize God, and we'll put God here, we'll put our finances here, we'll put our kids here, our wife here, and all this stuff, you are completely out of order. We are completely out of order. It is God, and everything belongs to Him. So when I'm in my marriage, God, what would you like to do with my home? What would you like to do with my marriage? What do you want to do with my wife? What do you want to do with my husband? What do you want to do with my children? Because honestly, they're all His. So when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Isn't that awesome? So you're dead. That's a good thing, by the way. And your life is hid with Him. But when He is revealed in His glory, guess what? You also will be revealed in glory. If you look at Revelation chapter 1, 2, 3, somewhere in there, those scriptures, those passages, John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos, or Patmos, however you say it, was banished to this island because they tried to boil him to death in hot oil. And they couldn't kill him. They said, well, we can't kill him, so let's just put him away. So they put him on this island. And he said, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard a voice behind me as a trumpet. I don't know about you, when Jesus walked as a man on this earth, he never shouted like a trumpet. He talked like a man. Got upset at people. Do you know the only people Jesus ever got upset with at was religious people? People who tried to do something and work their way through. He always hung out with prostitutes and tax collectors and sinners. Thank God I'm the sinner part, and you know, and all that stuff. That's who he wanted to hang out with. But the Bible says that he turned around and he saw this guy, and it describes his garments, and they were white like snow. And it describes his feet as feet that had been burned in a furnace. It describes his eyes like a flame of fire. And his voice was that of the sound of many waters. And John fell dead. He fell as a dead man. Well, this was Jesus, but this was Jesus glorified. This was the real Jesus. This was who Jesus was. Remember that scripture where Jesus, before his transfiguration, he said, there are some of you standing here that will not see death until they see the king or the Son of Man coming in his kingdom? Well, if that's true, why did they die? Because a few days later, he took Peter, James, and John, took them up to this mountain, and the Bible says he was transfigured before them. And his garments were shiny white. And then I love what it says, whiter than any laundromat could get it. His face shone like the sun in its strength. And Peter, being Peter, said, Lord, it's good that we're here. Let's build three tabernacles for you, Moses, and Elijah. And then the Bible says, of the heavens opened a voice, the Father spoke, said, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. And then they opened their eyes and he was just Jesus again, just Jesus in the flesh. But the Bible says when he is revealed in his glory, those of us who are dead and our lives are hid with him, we also will be glorified. We will also be like he is. You say, well, how can that be? The Bible says when we see Jesus, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is, not as he was in this flesh, not as he was as Mike or Gay or anyone else. Because I look at David, and I see David, he's got, big muscles, and he's got, a good-looking smile. And this is how I know David. But Paul said, we know no man after the flesh. If this is all I see about David, I will see his mistakes, I'll see his shortcomings, I'll see everything that makes David in the flesh, David in the flesh. But when you look at David and you see David's spirit, it doesn't look like that. You see David as a mighty man of God. You see David as a man who prays and he covers his wife. You see David in that respect. Because David has died and his life is hid with Christ. And even though I can't see a glorified David, one day when he stands before God and Jesus is revealed in all of his glory, guess who else is going to be shining in his strength? David. You know why? Because his life is hid in Christ. He is not his own. He doesn't belong to him. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit and in your body, which belong to him. See, if Jesus is a part of your life, you will never do that. If he's just an addition to your life, you will never do that. Will I make it 3 out of 4 Sundays? Or I pray every other day when I think about it and I'm really needing to pray. And again, don't get into the works mentality, but understand, if I'm dead, he is risen. But if I'm alive, he's dead in my life. You can't share the throne with God. The throne of your heart cannot be shared with you and him. It's either him or you. Right? Jesus, take the wheel. You know that song? I'm in trouble, so take over. See, if he would have been in charge, then your life isn't out of control. Even though sometimes it feels like it's out of control, he's still in control. Is this okay? All right. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And to them you also, listen, and in them you also once, past tense, walked when you were living in them. But guess what? You're dead. You're not alive to those things anymore. Right? Glory to God. So our life consists of these things. Family, job, recreation, health, our future, vacations, ministry, our plans. Have you ever made this statement? I know I have in the past. Well, I'm going to go do this, 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 and this. And we make all these plans. And then we say something like this: God, would you bless what I'm about to do? And God, I'm going to go to Hawaii, so God, I need you to bless that. I don't want the plane to go down. When I get there, I want to be able to see all the things I want to see. Bless the Lord. And that isn't how we ought to pray. God, what is your will for my vacation time? Come on. Vacation. He is not interested in my vacation. Absolutely is interested in your vacation. You know why? Because on your vacation, he is still God. He is still the Lord. Now listen, think about this. You're going to go to Hawaii. You're going to go to Zilla, Moxie, wherever you're going to go for your vacation.
Zilla's really good this time of year.
When you get there, we are there to relax and unwind and kind of be stress-free. But God's agenda is he's going to bring somebody into your life so that you can present to them the gospel of Jesus. Well, I'm on vacation. Really? You belong to him. It's his vacation. And God doesn't take vacations. Well, certainly God wants me to unwind and relax. Absolutely does. The Bible says it's foolish to stay up late, get up early, and eat the bread of sorrows. You mean God's interested in the time I go to bed? Absolutely interested when you go to bed. He's interested when you get up. He's interested in what you eat. He's interested in how you spend your money. Because it isn't yours, it's his. So how are you spending my money? Well, I bought, And, you know, think about that for a second. Before you buy something that you know you shouldn't buy. And I'm not talking about sinful stuff. I'm talking, you know, what you put in your body. What you allow to pass over your lips and forever on your hips and those types of things, right? Because your life is not yours, it's his. It all belongs to him. Before you scream at your child out of anger, which we've all done that, remember that child is his. He belongs to him. She belongs to him. Before you mistreat your wife by being mad and not talking to her, remember she is his. And how you treat his stuff, he's interested in. Before you decide what car to buy, listen, God is interested in every detail of my life because my life is his. Isn't that great? When Job was talking to God, and they're having this conversation, and God got a little bit perturbed at Job because Job was, you know, doing all this stuff. God said to Job, I love what God said to Job. He said, if I were hungry, would I tell you? Absolutely not. God does not need my permission to use me. God does not need my permission to do anything. He is God. But when we diminish God and make God like us, then God has to get my permission. I've had people say, well, you need to give God permission to bless you. Absolutely false. You do not. He wants to bless you. You got to give God permission to move in your life. And I've heard people say, well, God is a gentleman, and I believe that. He is a gentleman. But if we understand who God is, we are the ones that need to ask him, God, use me as you would because I belong to you. We have made God into this thing that when we come to church, we expect God to meet every single one of our needs. Our needs. But if we belong to him, they're his needs. And guess what? God is not a needy God. God is complete in himself. The Bible says, am I going too long? Okay. In Genesis, God had a conference with himself. He made all the world, made all the earth. And then he said, let us make man in our image. Who did he conference with? The Son, the Holy Spirit, the Father. These three are one. So God had a conference with himself. And I said, I think I like that idea. I'm going to make man in our image. And guess what it says after that? So God created man in his own, in his singular image. Created he them, male and female, created, you know, he created. But he had a conference with himself, the plurality of God, and in the singular of God, he created man in his image. And guess what God gave man to do? He gave him charge over the entire world. He said, you have charge over the earth, the birds, the fowl, everything, you are in charge. And guess what the devil wanted? More than anything, he wanted charge. And so he goes up to Eve and he says, hath God said, and we know the story, and she looked at the fruit, it was really good. She tasted, wow, that's really good. Gave it to her husband, really good, until they ate and realized, uh-oh, we have no clothes on. And they hid themselves from God. And fast forward to the Gospels, when Jesus is being tempted by Satan, he says, as he shows him all the kingdom of the world, in a moment of time, he said, all these will I give you, listen to this, for they were delivered to me, and I can give them to whomever I want. Well, how did he get it? When Satan, or when Adam and Eve sinned, they literally delivered what was theirs and gave it to him. And now he's in charge of it, and he can give it to whomever he wants to give it to. But thanks be to God, that Jesus said, I will worship and serve only God. Because my life is hid in the Father. And Jesus' prayer in John 17 was that they all may be one, Father, as you and I are one. I in you, you in me, they in us. For you died, and your life is hid in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then we will be revealed in him. Not like this, because this has got a lot of flaws, but like he really, really is. Amen? Jesus is our life. Therefore, the Bible says, we are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are his, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Right? I like what Paul said. I count all things as loss, that I might know him. So real quickly, let's go over to Philippians. You guys bored yet? Almost there? Okay. I'm almost bored. Would you please hurry this along? Okay, I'm going to hurry this up. Philippians chapter 3. This is entitled The Goal of Life. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard to you. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day, the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as of the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. Verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Remember, my life is hid in him, not having a righteousness of my own, works mentality, go to church 1,000 times a week, make sure I'm praying 1,000 times a day, that is derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it, I have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I have laid hold of Christ by Jesus Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, listen to this, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I forget my past. I'm saved, I'm dead, that's all dead now. And I look toward Christ, and I press on toward him. Because when Christ, who is my life, that's the whole point of this little talk. Christ is my life, period. Right? When I dress this physical man, what do? I put on clothes. When you dress your spiritual man, how do you do that? You put on Christ. We live in a world where people are defined by what they wear. What is that? Gumachi or Gianni, whatever. I don't know what they wear today. It's whatever. Anyway, as long as it fits well and it doesn't look too baggy, that's good. right? But when you put on Jesus, you don't take him off. Because he is your life. That would be like taking your heart, physical heart, out of your physical body. And then in the morning, put it back in your heart, your chest. That's ridiculous. But that's how we do Jesus sometimes. We take him out, put him on the shelf, and when we need him, we put him back on. And we do the little, you know, dance of the Christian. But Jesus is our life. Jesus is our life. And we belong to him. Amen? Was this too offensive? Uh-oh, I need to preach a little bit more then. No, I'm just teasing. All right. That's it. I'm done. Praise the Lord. Yeah. They're clapping. He's done. Yay, he's done. Okay. You know, sometimes I can look out at people, and when they start going, you know, you need to shut up. You're done. Okay, that's it. So, Pastor Mike, pray a reality. So let's all stand real quick. Did this make sense? I really hope it did, because I think sometimes, you know, we sang that song, I Will Climb This Mountain With My Hands Wide Open. How do you do that? You can't do that in the physical, because you'd fall. But if you're doing it in the spiritual, guess who's holding you? He's holding you, right? You know, I give it all to you, Lord. I lean not on my own understanding. That's the whole life of a Christian. It doesn't make any sense. Can I leave you with just one little tidbit, and then I'll be quiet and we'll pray. Whenever God asks, and this is how you can determine if it's God, a lot of times, how is God? Is it okay if I share this real quick? If what God is asking you to do, quote unquote, you can do it without him, don't do it, because that's not God. He doesn't need your help. He needs you to rely on him. If I give $5, I can do that. But when he says, I need you to give this much, and it makes absolutely no sense to me, maybe God is asking you to rely on him. Trust him. Anything God asks you to do will, underline this, require you to have faith. If what you're about to do does not require faith, don't do it. And say it's God. Example, Peter in the boat with the other disciples going across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus comes walking on the water in the middle of the night. They're all freaked out. They think they're seeing a ghost. And Peter, I love Peter. Lord, if it's you, call me to come. Bid me come. And Jesus says, come. How many people do you know get out of a boat in a storm or even on a calm sea and walk on water? Zero. So what was required of Peter at that moment was faith. Can you imagine what the disciples were saying? Pete, don't get out. That's the spirit. That's not God. God is not going to ask you to do that. Come on. He's not going to ask anybody to get out of a boat. Can I just say this? God, more times than not, asks us to get out of a situation, walk toward him that requires faith more so than God asking us to do something that I can do in my own strength and power. In fact, never does God ask us to do things that we can do on our own. When we raise our children, we want them to become independent. So we teach them how to walk. We teach them how to talk. We teach them how to drive a car. And by the time they're 18, hopefully, they're an adult and they can do things on their own. That is not how it works in the kingdom. In the kingdom, the older you get or the more mature you get in Christ, the more you realize you're more dependent on him than the day you got saved. If you're not more dependent on him today than when you got saved, you need to reestablish that relationship, because somewhere your old man came back to life and you and I think we can do it on our own. We can't do anything on our own because he's my life. And if he's my life, I am completely dependent on him. Wow. Okay. Father, thank you today for the word. I pray that you would take whatever I said, and sometimes what I say is not always put the way it should have been put, but Father, take these words and cement them in our hearts. Because for me, Lord, I want you to be my life. I don't want my life to be my own, because every time I'm in charge, I mess up. Every time I try to do it, I make mistakes. But Father, you are my life. And you're the God that forgives us. You're the God that redeems us. And so, Father, I pray today that my life, the lives in this room, would have a clear understanding by the Spirit of what it means to have our lives hid with Christ. Yes. Father, today I pray that there is no condemnation from what I said, but Lord, only the sweet presence of the Lord bidding us to come and stay with him. Father, thank you for the opportunity to minister your word. Bless these pastors, Mike and Gaylene, in the church. God, cause it to be what you want it to be, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, announcements.
Sorry. One quick announcement for Valentine's Day this Friday night. If any parents want to bring their children, the youth is going to be babysitting from 6 to 9 p.m. That way parents can get out and do whatever they choose to do. Yeah, we're going to be downstairs babysitting kids from 6 to 9 p.m. And if you could text Josh or somehow let Josh know by Wednesday, that way we can be prepared and have everything set up for however many children we're going to be having. From brand new baby to 10 years old. So whatever age they are, and Timmy can come and we will watch them until 9 p.m. So, yeah. So, Lord, help us.
God bless you all. Yeah, God bless you all. Love you, and drive safely.